Today on Richard Ellis Talks.
There are people on this planet who are in church every Sunday and don't get it. You don't hear truth. You hear tradition. You keep your rules. You try to keep everybody out that's not like you. We got a little club and we don't even want to hear any truth. We got our tradition and that's just how we're going to do it.
Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope and insight for you. And in today's broken world, that is something everyone is desperate to hear. Richard shares unapologetically the truth of the Bible in a way that's clear, relational, and uplifting. So thank you for taking this time to listen. We know it will bless you. And when you have a moment, you might want to check out our website so we can stay connected with you, richardellis.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is
Devil's Advocate. A priest was walking along the school corridor near the preschool wing when a group of little ones were trotting by on the way to the cafeteria. One little lad of about 3 or 4 stopped and looked at him in the clerical clothes and asked, "Why do you dress funny?" He told him that he was a priest and that this is the uniform priests wear. Then he pointed to the priest's little plastic collar insert and asked, "Does it hurt? Do you have a boo-boo?" And the priest was perplexed till he realized that to him the collar insert looked like a Band-Aid. So the priest took it out and showed him on the back of the collar are raised letters giving the name of the manufacturer. The little guy felt the letters and the priest asked, "Do you know what those words say?" He said, "Yes, I do," said the lad, who was not old enough to read. Peering intently at the letters, he said, "It says, kills ticks and fleas up to 6 months." All right, here's just a few off the sheet. I give you some of these words of wisdom from children, and some of these are mixed in that I've done before. Let me go down here. These are like 10, 11, 12. I think I've shared this before. When your dad is mad and asks you, "Do I look stupid?" don't answer him. Just remember that one. Never tell your mom her diet's not working. Michael, 14. Stay away from prunes. Never pee on an electric fence. That's Robert, 13, who obviously had an awakening of an experience. Don't squat with your spurs on. When your mom is mad at your dad, don't let her brush your hair. Don't sneeze in front of your mom when you're eating crackers. Never hold a dustbuster and a cat at the same time. Don't wear polka dot underwear under white shorts. If you want a kitten, start out by asking for a horse. Felt markers are not good to use as lipstick. When you get a bad grade in school, show it to your mom when she's on the phone. All right, now this is a great little story, and then we'll dive in here. There was a Christian lady who lived next door to an atheist. Every day when the lady prayed, the atheist guy could hear her. He thought to himself, "She sure is crazy praying all the time like that. Doesn't she know there isn't a God?" Many times while she was praying, he would go to her house and harass her, saying, "Lady, why do you pray all the time? Do you not know there's no God?" But she kept on praying. One day, she ran out of groceries. As usual, she was praying to the Lord, explaining her situation and thanking him for what he was going to do. As usual, the atheist heard her praying and thought to himself, "I'll fix her." He went to the grocery store, bought a whole bunch of groceries, took them to her house, dropped them off on the front porch, rang the doorbell, and then hid in the bushes to see what she would do. When she opened the door and saw the groceries, she began to praise the Lord with all her heart, jumping, singing, and shouting everywhere. The atheist then jumped out of the bushes and told her, "You old crazy lady, God didn't buy you those groceries. I bought you those groceries." Well, she broke out and started running down the street, shouting and praising the Lord. When he finally caught her, he asked her what her problem was. She said, "I knew the Lord would provide me with some groceries, but I didn't know he was going to make the devil pay for them." Anyhow. All right, well, the devil's advocate, this the phrase that we think of, is usually somebody who's really pretty negative, right? Or they're trying to give you the, if they're being not negative, they're just trying to give you the other side of the story. And believe it or not, this term comes from a Roman Catholic, it was described, it was a Latin word, two words, Latin words, it described a Roman Catholic official whose duty is to examine critically the evidence on which demand for beatification or canonization rests. And the second definition, which we're all familiar with, is a person who champions the less accepted cause for the sake of argument. Okay? Now, I used to spend a lot of time with quote-unquote devil's advocates arguing. And if you've ever, if you are a Christian or a new Christian or have ever had a conversation with someone who is an atheist or not a Christian, and they are always giving you the devil's advocate side and sometimes sound like they really are the devil's advocate, you realize it can be very frustrating. And part of what I want to talk to you about today and read you a conversation between Jesus and very unlikely devil's advocates is to caution you not to get into long drawn out conversations with these people. Because a devil's advocate is not looking for information or trying to come your way necessarily. They're just trying to shoot you out of the water. And they will ask you some interesting questions, but to me it is one thing, if somebody asks me a question looking for an answer, that's one thing. If they are asking a question just to poke holes and make fun and create an argument instead of a discussion, it's going to go nowhere. And when I was younger, I used to get in these conversations. I'd go 3-4 hours at a time with somebody trying to overcome their objectives, trying to argue them, you know, God's way into becoming a Christian. And you won't do it. I sat this week with a lady. A guy works at a local business. A girl in his office came to him just out of the blue. She's a salesperson in a store. She comes to her boss and says, "You know what? I'm in a crisis. And something spiritual has got to happen or I'm not going to make it." So he started talking to her and thought, you know, this may be a little awkward. So he called me and said, "This happened. Would you talk to her?" I said, "Fine, send her over." So she came over. We sat out in front of Starbucks for about an hour and a half through the day. And I talked to her about her life, listened to her past, some things that were going on, tried to get an idea of who she was and where she was. And she had some questions, but her questions were not, she wanted answers. She wasn't just being harassing and argumentative. She wanted answers. And I went through the gospel, the fact that Jesus had died for her, was buried, raised from the dead, tried to explain all that to her. And there was a moment in time when I realized, and I said to her, I said, "You know what, this is the craziest stuff you've ever heard in your life, isn't it?" And she said, "Well, yeah, it is." And I said, "This whole thing about God coming to earth, being born of a virgin, it's impossible. Living a perfect life, it's impossible. Dying on a cross, this Roman tool of torture, and because he died on a cross and his blood was shed, you know, like that's going to do anything. He just died. He was buried and then raised from the dead. That's impossible. And if you believe all this stuff, your life will change and you'll spend eternity with God in heaven. That's the craziest thing you've ever told anybody in your life." And see, we forget how foolish that sounds. But I'm going to tell you what, the Bible says to those who are perishing, it is foolishness. But to those who believe, it is the power of God unto salvation. And I sat there in this conversation with this girl, explained it every way I knew how to make it personal to her. And for about the first 30, 45 minutes, she just sat there. And I said, "You know what? I've never talked anybody into believing this." And I said, "You either do or you don't. And it's a God thing. God has to give you the faith. He'll show you what it's all about." And at some point in that conversation, something happened, and she got it. And I sat out in front of Starbucks a couple of days ago with a woman. She didn't care who was around. Bowed her head, closed her eyes, weeping, prayed, and became a Christian a couple days ago. Now, guys, now the reason I tell you that is to encourage you to have these conversations, for one. But there's a point where in the middle of even that conversation, I said, "You know what? It may not go anywhere. Maybe I'm just supposed to talk to her, help her a little bit along the way, plant a seed, and somebody will follow this up somewhere else." And I kept waiting to see if that was the case. But then it turned. And she was not being a devil's advocate, although she did have some great questions. Now, that is one scenario. These people just want to argue this stuff. I had another conversation yesterday with a lady. She's got a close friend. This guy says he's an atheist. You know, the old deal, "I'm an atheist, thank God." He says he's an atheist, and she tells him about Jesus, and he comes back with just pages of emails of stuff that he's not searching. He's just making fun of her religion, of her relationship with God. She said to me, "What do I do with him?" I said, "You know, there's a point where you give him the truth and you pray. and you don't keep engaging in this really senseless, if not mindless, stuff that's going back and forth. Pray for him, and when you get a legitimate opportunity and God shows you now, then step in there. And if they want to take off on some tirade and argue, say, you know what, I'm not going to talk you into this anyway. You and God are going to have to decide this, but here's how you do it, and leave them alone. And let God work on them from the inside where they can't escape anyway. His arguments are usually better. All right, John chapter 8. I'm going to read you something. You may have read this. I've made reference to some of these passages before. But in John chapter 8, verse 31, I'm going to read you a conversation that Jesus has with some people, and you'll figure out in a minute who they are. And guys, these conversations get pretty cut to the chase. And I haven't done this time the conversation, just broken it down in actual exchange. But this isn't a very long. It's a long passage somewhat, but it's not a long conversation. He gets in this, gets out, and leaves them. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, talking to Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So the context here is you'll know the truth, and if you know the truth will make you free. They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have not been in bondage to anyone." What do you mean get free? We are free. Guys, who you are kin to or who you're descendants of has nothing to do eternally with your personal relationship with God. And there are people who are born into Baptist, Catholic, Methodist, some kind of home, and you think because you were born in that house, you're going to make it to heaven. It's not hand-me-down religion. It is a personal relationship. So they say, "Well, we're Abraham's descendants. We've never been in bondage. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." What they were not free from was sin. They may have the right lineage and were descendants, Jewish people and descendants, but they were slaves of sin. Verse 35, "And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." There's nobody going to set you free but Jesus. Ultimately, really free, there's nobody but Jesus has the power to do that. And when you get freed by Him, you are free indeed. "I know that you are Abraham's descendants." Now listen to this. Now there's a crowd of Jews listening to this too. "I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my Father, and you do." Now listen to this. And guys, I'm telling you, I am very cut to the chase. And either I'm just getting old and grumpy, or I'm getting more cut to the chase every day. And you get in these conversations with people who don't understand the consequence of the decisions they make and just, "Well, it'll be okay, and God loves everyone, and there's no consequence anymore, and it'll be okay." It's not going to be okay. There are certain things you do that are disastrous, and it's not going to be okay. And Jesus looks at these guys and says, "I speak what I've seen with my Father, and you do what you have seen with your Father." Now, they're going to figure out in a minute who he's talking about and the implication and what it means about them. They answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "Well, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father." Well, they said to him, now listen to how this thing escalates. And some commentaries think this is exactly what they were saying. It got into a little bit of an argument. "You do the deeds of your father," Jesus said. Then they said to him, "Well, we were not born of fornication," sex outside of marriage. Now look who they're talking to. "Well, at least my mom and dad were married." The implication here is that Jesus is born out of wedlock. "You do the deeds of your father," they said to him. "We were not born of fornication." At least we're not illegitimate. "We have one father, God." That's what they said to him. Jesus said to them, well, guys, this is amazing. I mean, this is one of the videos I'm renting, but anyhow. Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, what I'm saying? Because you are not able to listen to my word." Now, who are these people? These are Jewish leaders, people who knew everything. They had the religious background. Sometimes, I'm not knocking people with religious background, guys, but I went through 10 years of detox just to get over it. And he said, well, I didn't know he used drugs. It was spiritual detox. It took me 10 years in the business world just getting some of the stuff out of me. I was so religious, I didn't even know what a relationship with God was. And these people had so many generations of religious stuff on them, they couldn't even hear God. They were just jumping through the hoops, checking off their list, doing all the religious things, but they didn't even, when they heard truth, they couldn't hear it. Now, I don't know who this is for, but there are people on this planet who are in church every Sunday and don't get it. You don't hear truth. You hear tradition. You keep your rules. You try to keep everybody out that's not like you. If they're a different color, they're a different socioeconomic group, they drive different cars, whatever it is, you got these things. We got a little club and we don't even want to hear any truth. We got our tradition and that's just how we're going to do it. You're putting yourself in the devil's advocate pile. And Jesus himself could walk in the building and speak and you'd usher him out, call security on him or something. Because he wouldn't look right, he wouldn't sound right, and he would say some things, and he said some things here that made these people, you'll see what happens in the end here. Jesus said, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceed forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil. Now, at this point, they were not happy campers. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now that's a mouthful. And he looked at these Jewish people, these religious leaders, and said, I'll tell you who your father is, the devil. You're a murderer like he was, or you wouldn't be trying to kill me, God in the flesh. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? They couldn't do it. And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. There are people that I talk to outside of the religious box who are more receptive to truth than religious people I spend time with who just don't get it. They believe in God, but they don't live like they're his kids. And will absolutely blow someone away over legalistic stuff and have no compassion, no mercy, no grace to dispense because they haven't received much grace or much compassion or mercy. They're just living under the law basically still. He who is of God hears God's words, therefore you do not hear because you are not of God. Then the Jews answered and said to him, do we not say right that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Now they're not saying you're demon possessed. You sound like a Samaritan, you're talking crazy, and we think you're demon possessed. Now how bizarre is that for anybody to think that God in man would even possibly be demon possessed? That's how crazy you get when you get into this mode. Jesus answered, I don't have a demon, but I honor my Father and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Then the Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Listen to this question they ask. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? And the prophets are dead? Whom do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, you're not even 50 years old and you have seen Abraham? It's impossible. And this is one of the most amazing statements to ever come out of Jesus' mouth. Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Not I was, I am. And when he said those two words, I am, they went ballistic. Because those are the words that only God can speak. And then when he spoke those words, he claimed to be God, and that's exactly who he is. Before Abraham was, I am. Then they took up stones to throw at him. They were going to stone him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. He got away. If you speak the truth, you're going to make someone very upset. And it is amazing to me when I speak truth, believe it or not, you try to speak truth to quote-unquote religious, godly people, and sometimes they get it less than anybody. Because they got so much tradition, so much bondage, so much stuff that clouds the truth, they can't even hear truth anymore. And if Jesus himself walked in, they'd never get it. Make sure, guys, you are not, whether you know it or not, make sure you are not one of the devil's advocates. And that you don't find yourself opposite of God and trying to fight against who he is and what he's doing really. Because sometimes all of our traditions may violate his truth. And it's not about where you came from and who your parents are. I'm a sixth generation preacher. You know what? That doesn't make me anything unless I have a relationship with him. And whether I know him, and whether I walk with him, and whether I let the truth penetrate my heart and my mind and my life and let him live through me. There's a great place in 1 John chapter 2, and I'll just read you one verse. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. I don't need to be the devil's advocate. I need to keep the advocate I've already got. Jesus Christ the righteous, who goes to bat for me and took my place.
Richard Ellis will return in a moment to wrap up today's talk with a few final words. But first, I want to share some important information about the program. The reason we do this is to share with you the good news. When you open your heart and life to the saving grace of Jesus Christ, that's the beginning point of the most amazing journey you'll ever experience. But it's also a journey that we want to join with you. So if you've been on this road for a while or just getting started, let us know how we can help. Maybe you've got some questions, stuck in neutral, or even wondering how to take the next breath. We get it and want to help you in any way we can. Give us a call at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us through our website, richardellis.com. We're here to celebrate with you too. So if this program has made a difference to you and encouraged you in any way, tell us about it. We'd love to hear your story. So let's keep this conversation going by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or send us an email through our website, richardellis.com. That would really make our day. To know how Richard's talks have helped you, call 855-6-RICHARD or email us through the website, richardellis.com. And speaking of the messages, you can find today's talk along with every audio and video message from Richard at our website, richardellis.com. Finally, we really believe that these talks with Richard are making a big difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute to this ministry by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellis.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
Let's pray. And our Father, we thank you so much for this day. And I pray that you'd give us wisdom in the conversations that we have with people. And Lord, that we would speak the truth, but we would speak the truth in love and understand that there is consequence to decisions that people make. Give us boldness, but give us wisdom. Let us be wise as serpents and harmless, gentle as doves. And Father, I thank you for the opportunities we do have to talk with people. And I pray that you'd give us discernment to know whether they're really searching for you or just being a devil's advocate. We thank you so much for loving us. And Father, for anybody under the sound of my voice that doesn't have a personal relationship with you, and a lot of times they can't even get to you because of all the religious stuff, I pray that you'd get them through all that, Father, and let them see the pure simplicity of the gospel and the power that you have to speak truth, that you are truth. And when that truth is spoken, people are delivered or set free from sins of all kinds. Thank you for Jesus, his life, death, burial, and resurrection that makes not only eternal life possible to you, Father, but an abundant life between here and heaven, living life to the full. And I pray that we would be people who experience that life and that those around us would see that life, not just mere words, but words that are lived out. and that when they see it, they would see a difference. And because of that difference, they would ask us for a reason for the hope that we have, and that we would always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that's within us. And that reason and that hope is you. We love you, God. We thank you so much for loving us. We pray that you would use us in the remainder of this day, if it's our last, to make a difference for you and for your kingdom and for your glory. And we pray it in your name. Amen.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. So give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Or through our website, richardellis.com, by sending an email to us so we can stay connected with you. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or through the website, richardellis.com. Your story needs to be heard, and we're listening, caring, and encouraged. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellis.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support to join us on our mission to reach the planet. We can't do it alone and need your help on this mission. RichardEllis.com. So till next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.